Welcome to the show on Wednesday night here in In Plain Sight with your host, Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Make sure that you donate to RBN. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, upper left-hand menu, then find that donate button, which should be on the right hand after you click the menu. Smash said donate button, send much-needed money. Call it into Mike, or you can mail it in. The mail-in address is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That's all on that donate page. If you want to get that in there, check out our Chitango set up by one Mayor Bailey, the sunshine caller. I feel sunshine rays when she calls in. Something about her voice. Hi, Mer. Inplainsight.chitango.com. That's site spelled S-I-T-E. And we're going to take calls later on in the show. I got about 20 solid minutes of content. I'm going to try to keep it down to 20 and then take calls after the first break. 512-248-8252. So I ran across a very disturbing article from the Daily Stormer. And it's, you know, Stormer, I reference it a lot in this day and age of compromised media. Even some of the alternative media is not the best. But you can always go to, republicbroadcasting.org and get the latest and greatest stories. But I also take from the Stormer on occasion because I appreciate Anglin's point of view. Don't always agree with him. But this headline caught my eye. And before I get into it, I think, you know, how we have sort of different nights during the week are sort of designated to different subjects. And hang on just a second, folks. Sorry about that. Had to take care of a little something. But different nights are designated for different subjects. And Wednesday nights tend to be a little more spiritual because I just get back from church and I've got that on my mind. So as we get into this broadcast, keep that in mind that, Tuesday nights are political. Wednesday nights get a little spiritual. Fridays get a little spiritual, but we delve into more health and wellness culture. So, like I said, I won't be taking calls till the last, after the first break at least. But let me get through this content. Stormer article reads, poll, almost 6% of all Americans, 16% of Generation Z, identifies as sexually deviant. That's 1 in 6 Generation Z, the Zoomers. And that would be teenagers through about 23 to 25 years old. And homosexuality is now extremely fashionable, apparently. But he quotes the Daily Mail, a record 5.6% of Americans now identifies LGBTQ, the majority of whom say they are bisexual, according to a new survey. Gallup on Tuesday published its latest update on LGBTQ identification, showing a 1.1% increase since the poll was last conducted in 2017. It marks the largest increase since the survey began in 2012, with an estimated 18 million adults. Wait a minute. 18 million adults in America identifying as LGBTQ last year. I'm sort of having a hard time with that, but I mean, that's what the poll says. And, I guess they have no reason to lie. Maybe they do. Maybe they're trying to gaslight us, but I do. We would agree that it is on the rise. It is drastically on the rise. And if you pull up that article in the Stormer and the Daily Mail, you can go through there and make up that data what you want. But it is most definitely changing. And this all with, you know, we're going to go back to where it really changed. But you can see a drastic drop once Obama did the homo marriage and the tranny bathroom thing. Drastic drop. It almost emboldened this new generation, the Zoomers, that they're not afraid to come out now. There's not any repercussions in their families or churches or places of business. Churches is what I especially want to note here, because the church has definitely dropped the ball. So you can read through the article. I don't want to read it verbatim. I did want to reference it to tell you what kind of brought on the broadcast for tonight. I want to talk about the judgment of God, the judgment of God on nations, on governments, as well as on individuals, and what brings that about and how to escape it. If you're not familiar with the prophet Jonah, Jonah was in the Old Testament a prophet sent to preach to Nineveh, the at one time one of the largest cities in the world. Nineveh was. It was an ancient Assyrian city in Upper Mesopotamia, and it's located on the outskirts of modern day northern Iraq. But it was a major city. It had a lot of comparisons to America, very wealthy and powerful and very wicked, very wicked. So Jonah was sent to preach to this city. And if you're not familiar with the book of Jonah, he was sent. He did not want to go. He felt that they should get what they deserved, and he totally just went the other way to Tarshish, which was west. He was supposed to go east. So the entirety of the story is he was sailing on a ship, and God sent a storm, and the sailors went into panic. Jonah said, "Look, it's my fault, and God is punishing me. Throw me over, and the storm will cease." They did so. Jonah got swallowed by a fish, and the thing vomited him up on the shore after he repented. And then he went and preached to Nineveh, and Nineveh, the entire city, repented. So that's the basic outline of Jonah. Let me read specifically, though. I want you to get it from the Word of God itself. Jonah 1 through 3. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up from before me.' But Jonah arose and fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid a fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So I want to bring this up first, is that we as Christians, the church, we were supposed to be salt and light and preserve the society. And it was the church's job to call out the sin and to keep society from slipping, to elect the proper representatives in our republic that was. And we didn't do it. And always repentance starts with the church. So we notice that Jonah, representative of the church here, he first disobeys, but then after he is put in circumstances that are very undesirable, he repents. He repents, and he does what God commands him. I want to reference the fact that the church is supposed to be the beginning place of judgment and repentance, because how can you have a healthy society if you don't have a healthy church? 1 Peter 4:17 says, "The time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God." And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So again, the church is where this is supposed to start, and the churches completely have dropped the ball in America for at least the last 60 years. Now, I want to read a prayer of repentance, Jonah 2, 1 through 10. It's very heartfelt. And a lot of you maybe feel like this when you're maybe you know the right thing to do, but you don't do it. You're put in a bad circumstance, and then you repent. "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of death I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me, and your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, 'I have been cast out of your sight, yet will I look again toward your holy temple.' The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I bent down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you and to your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So the Lord spoke to the fish and vomited Jonah out on the dry land. pretty gruesome story, right? But the point is that Jonah, who is representative of God's people, had to repent and had to do what he was supposed to do in order to preserve the society, right? And then another thing that we want to pull out of the book of Jonah, if you go into chapter 3, after he preached to them, the people repented, but not only the people, but the leadership, the rulers repented. And that's what it takes for God to spare a government, for God to spare a country of people or a nation. Jonah 3, 5 through 10. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the last of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh. That's the greatest to the least of them, the least. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Verse 10, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And if you read the history of Nineveh and throughout the Bible, they got another 70 years. God was going to destroy them that year, and because the city repented, they got another 70 years before Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, would come and overtake them. So a whole, couple of generations there. And that's what I was hoping for America so bad. I really was. But I don't foresee our leaders repenting in sackcloth and ashes and turning from their ways. But one thing that I do want to differentiate here is the two types of judgment. There is judgments of nations, there's individual judgments, and then there is the judgment after this life. Now, Nineveh, I mean, I don't know that they turned their religious views around. They did acknowledge the one true God, but they stopped doing the evil that they were doing as a country, as a government. And because of that, they avoided disaster. So there is a concept of, when you do wrong, especially as a government, as a nation, you're going to bring about on your head the judgment of God. And stopping that could deter the judgment of God. So you take like America's killing of over 60 million babies since Roe versus Wade. You take our involvement in wars for the state of Israel, all of the Middle Eastern people that were killed. You think about the over 500,000, children and old people that died in the sanctions in the 90s, and Madeleine Albright said it was worth it. It was totally worth it. You think about all of the judgment America has stored up for herself, and it's about to come crashing down on her. I think we're seeing the very beginnings of that. So there is two types of judgment: the physical judgment on this earth, which you can't escape by repenting and of your evil works. But then there's a spiritual judgment that you're going to face after death. And I'll get into that a little bit later. You can't get out of that from your works. You cannot. But what I do want to mention here is that God will deliver the righteous as he judges the wicked. And I want to reference 2 Peter 2, 4 through 9. And in this passage, Peter mentions a couple of civilizations that were judged, right? For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And he delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment And if you read the story of Lot, he was not a stand-up guy. He made all his life was full of mistakes, but he was delivered. He was the nephew of Abraham. He was living among Sodom and Gomorrah, and God had sent angels to pull him out of there. Why? Not because of his works, but because Lot was righteous because of his faith, okay? How do we become righteous? Question of the night right here. Romans 3:10 tells us that it is written there is none righteous, no, not one. Not a one of us are, no matter how good your life is. You could have a picture-perfect life, great family, take care of your kids, good job. You're not righteous. Even your thoughts betray you. There are some sins that you commit that you can't even help. So how do we get that righteousness? Romans 3:21 through 24. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So as I mentioned, there's two different judgments, and you can live a good life and escape a physical judgment of God. So for example, if you get married and have children and don't do illicit sex and have many sex partners, you can avoid STDs. If you avoid homosexuality and needles, you can avoid AIDS. And if you elect the correct officials, you know, in your republic, you know, you can avoid governmental judgment that comes down on you. But the spiritual judgment can only be avoided through faith in Jesus Christ, because your works don't save you. There is none righteous, is what Romans just says. Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We're all going to die, right? And you're going to stand before your Maker, and your good works aren't going to matter at that point. Only your faith in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins and rose from the grave. Like I said, the church has totally dropped the ball. Its job was to be light and salt and preserve the society. But you go back to World War II, we took the wrong side. Creation and God was taken out of our schools. You had the sexual revolution of the 60s, Roe versus Wade. As I mentioned, the legalization of homo marriage and LGBTQ rights. And now you even got Desmond is Amazing, where you're sexualizing children. And you got a Pennsylvanian tranny who is Mr. Garrison in drag talking about giving these children, you know, sex changes. And the society is completely slid off the rails, and the judgment will not be avoided. So what I'm saying is get right with Jesus. That's your only way out. And, you know, that's spiritually. And Patrick and I talk about a lot of political stuff that we can do, like organizing with our sheriffs and local town councils and whatnot. And that's going to help you. That's going to help you. But get right with Jesus. There is a spiritual aspect. America died spiritually. It died back after the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Back to the show in plain sight. We've got a board full of callers. Our callers are very important. But there are some nights where I've got to get through content because, if I don't have content, what do we got? First up, in order, Blue Moon from California. Blue Moon, welcome.
Hello?
Oh, hello. This is Jeremy. You're on the air.
I'm never sure when I am. Well, good evening. Greetings to everybody. And yes, I heard some of what you were talking about. And indeed, it is the Weimar Republic all over again, isn't it?
Yes.
And yes, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yes, we got on the wrong side, didn't we? We're the ones that are doing it. You know, they say, and I think it's in the Bible also, they say the sons shall pay for the sins of the fathers. I hate to say that, it sounds terrible, but it seems to be very true, Jeremy, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and it's not necessarily spiritually, but I think what they're talking about is how I mentioned, you know, we took the wrong side in World War II. Our churches, our forefathers allowed the sexual revolution and didn't stand against it. Well, we're paying for that now with child trannies and right. Homo marriage.
Well, they do the same thing everywhere, all over again, right? Exactly. And it is a very old saying, I don't know who said it first, but the children shall pay for the sins of the fathers. And it's very true, you know, in many ways. So there you go. It's not a nice thing to say, and it's not a positive thing to say, but yeah.
Well, it's a truthful. It's a truthful thing to say.
We're talking about it is yeah. Indeed, and it's so hopefully maybe the world will learn now. You know, now the internet and everything. If this country is taken down, I don't know what will happen if there's enough strength left in the Western world. You know, but anyway, I want to put forth for my recommendation of the next book is Lord of the Rings. To me, that is very spiritual. Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. And the music for the day shall be Tannhauser Overture by Wagner. So there you go is my contribution for today. And I don't know if you heard the time when Dr. Slattery was talking with Brother Nathaniel it was a very bad recording, and I just kind of heard the last part of it, but he says it very, very clearly. This guy speaks it very clearly. He is a Jewish man that converted to Christianity. You probably know very well who I'm talking about, Brother Nathaniel. You guys want anybody listening, look him up, and he just says it like it is. He's not afraid to speak of his genetic tribe. And Dr. Slattery at the end kind of said, well, what shall we do? And he said it very clearly. He said, get rid of them. They're parasites. And then he said, well, they will always take advantage of your stupidity. And then there was a little pause, and he said, of your kindness. And I thought that was so cool, because the first thing that came out of his mouth was, of your stupidity. That was exactly what they really think. Yeah, a lot of a lot of the other biospirits out there are not the same as, everybody's a little different. If they see you as weak or kind or passive, or they see you as stupid. In their mind is translated as, oh, this is something we can take advantage of. Somebody we can take advantage of, they're stupid. So anyway, but if you have not heard that interview, Dr. Slattery can play it for you. You've probably got an archive somewhere. And in that same interview, Brother Nathaniel said a very interesting thing. He said the reason why the Byzantine Empire is not talked about in history much is because of that maybe they don't want people to know that it lasted like 1,000 years. It lasted beyond, the fall of the Rome. This was the Eastern Roman Empire. And he says the reason is because they prohibited Jews from holding public office. And I think probably academic positions and things of this sort. They were not, they treated them well. They had their neighborhood. They do this, but they were not allowed to be in the Congress and whatever they had, parliament, the politics. And that's why they lasted a long time. But, they were constantly getting attacked by the Turks and the Muslims and the whatnot, all these other Eastern Islamic tribes mainly. And the Jews kept opening the gates. And finally, they took a wall down in their own section. They had their own section. I guess they like to call it a ghetto or whatever. And they started taking the wall down. And they let the Turks in, finally. And Byzantium fell. So there you go. I don't know. Will we ever learn? Maybe not. But anyway. I was very sad when Stormfront is no longer on air. They had become kind of my family. I loved to hear Dawn and Jay and Patrick was always there too.
It is a shame.
Since I have not been listening to them, I started recently listening to Michael Rivero. What really happened? And I wonder.
And we're
I wondered,
up on the break.
Can I just say one more thing?
We're up on the break. Let me hold you over. You can give us your parting thoughts, and we'll move on to the next caller on the other side. Across the sea into my soul. It reaches into where I cannot hide.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My heart is old, it holds my memory.
Back to the show. And welcome back to Implant Site. Got calls stacked up. Blue Moon was finishing up. Blue Moon, give us your parting comments.
I was going to say that I've been listening to a lady from Canada called Lila. Are you there, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah, I'm very familiar with her calls. She called my show on Friday, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, in case she calls, she seems very knowledgeable, and I'd like to share thoughts with her. If she would be kind enough to talk to me, could I leave my number with Mike, with your technician there?
Oh, yeah, that'd be fine. Leave it with Mike, and maybe next time he hears from her, he can pass the number on, and y'all can talk.
Right. She seems to know a lot about that certain part of the world that I have a lot of questions about, and... Yeah, I like to get my history straight, okay. I shouldn't say anything else about there's been some interesting calls lately on Mike Rivero's, but whatever, she sounds very knowledgeable though, and I would love to talk to her if she would talk to me. And what was my parting thought? Love to everyone. Be well. And thank you for taking my call, Jeremy. And thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Thank you for calling in. And, so, as we were talking, Patrick and I talk about Jewish power a lot, and we have to acknowledge the issue. But, in this lesson tonight, I was putting the blame on the church, and it does deserve the blame because the church used to be a very strong influence in its community. And even though not everybody maybe went to church, it was shameful to be openly gay and to watch certain things and go to certain movies. And if the American families had done what they were supposed to, if the fathers had removed those televisions, because one of the things that subverted America was a television in every home. That's what prepared them for the sexual revolution. As we say, the Jews themselves acknowledge that they control Hollywood. You can read it in the book, An Empire of Their Own, that they completely took over Hollywood. I want to lay blame on the families and on the churches as well for not rejecting this as a collective, because together we could have been strong. We could have pushed back against that, but people just accepted it and slowly took the subversion. But at any rate, let's go back to our callers. Oh, Josh from New York. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeremy. Well, you're not allowed to talk about the Jews controlling Hollywood. That would be anti-Semitic.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, God. Hey, before I make my point, I wanted to give you a couple. I wanted to recommend a book for you about cancer. This was actually very eye-opening for me. I think maybe you could show it to your friend. I know he's going through a lot, and obviously I hope William could take a look at it. So please buy this book. This is the best medical book I've read, and I've read a lot. So it's called Cancer and the New Biology of Water by Dr. Thomas Cowan. It's on Amazon, I think. I think it's still on there. But it's a fascinating book, and he talks about a lot of alternative treatments and what's behind cancer, and obviously about like how horrible the allopathic treatment is with chemotherapy. But that's a great place to start, I think, when it comes to cancer, and I hope you could take a look at that.
Yeah, I pulled it up online. I see it here, and they offer an Audible book. I guess you can sign up and pay a little money. I don't know. Or you can just get the hard copy. But yeah, I see it right here. I appreciate that.
Yeah, please buy it. I promise. He's a great writer. You'll enjoy it. You'll probably want to read his other books. Like, great writer, and he's brilliant. So also, I did want to talk about Stanford. That was a very interesting call. And obviously, he followed up with an email with you. When I first heard that, I was actually listening live. I called into that show, and for my first thoughts about the guy is that I did empathize with him. Obviously, that I am obviously Jewish. My parents are Jewish, and I went through the whole, you know, Holocaust. The industrial complex, you know, the whole entire thing, and when they hear people talking about, you know, about Jews and the and Jewish power and stuff, they get very, you know, get very, I guess they feel threatened, and they feel like they have to stifle it. But it's interesting because it's the stifling which actually results in these pushbacks. It's like a never-ending cycle. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Jews always feel like we have to stop it. We can't let them talk about it or else it's going to happen. And that's what actually makes it happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I get exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
This is very interesting. But I did have a point that like, I know he emailed you and he said that that it's very similar to you know, what was going on pre-World War II, I guess, in Weimar Germany, you know, the talking about the Jews and stuff, but I read Mein Kampf. I read a lot of Hitler's speeches and stuff, and not to negate the fact that obviously the Jews played a pivotal role, I guess maybe the driving force behind communism and stuff, but it the rhetoric that he said, a lot of it's not. A lot, maybe when he talks about like the inherent nature of a Jew, it's not backed by facts and science in the same way that Patrick speaks and Dr. Kevin McDonald speak. And why, well, the Jews, they always say, like, you know, you can't generalize when you talk about the Jews, but why do they get to generalize when they talk about people that criticize Jewish power? You know, like, why is that fair? Like, everybody talks about Jewish power is called a Nazi when there's differences in the way people go about their criticism of world Jewry. It's just completely, it's such a double standard. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's a defense mechanism, I suppose. And Sanford is either, you know, being very defensive. And because this stuff is hitting him hard and it's hard to accept. Or some people are just subversive. They know what they're doing and they do it anyway. I mean, it sounds to me like you come on a journey of this and, which is completely, utterly fascinating that you listen to our shows and call in and you're willing to talk. I mean, what if all Jews were willing to talk like this? You know, we could solve all the problems, but, and there wouldn't be the need to come down like some people do, But you're right. I think Dr. Kevin McDonald just puts it out as logically as you can put it, and just really lays it out there without any, you know, there's no hatred in what he says. It's just pure logic. I'm not sure what to make of Sanford, but I hope he keeps listening and I hope he keeps interacting with us. That's what I say.
I hope he could get more time with you. I would want to hear like a whole conversation, to be honest. I think maybe you could get him on. That would be amazing. I think everyone would like it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But we appreciate your contribution to the show.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call. And, yeah, you've been so gracious, and I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Josh.
All right.
And next we have Pat from North Carolina. Pat, welcome to the show. Hey, Pat.
You there?
Hey, Pat, you're on air. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, so I have to keep it to religion and funny. Trying to, like, just the Jeff last caller, but I'm going to need to ponder that and then, you know, respond. But the caller
ponder. Ponder that. Let me throw this out, Pat. Ponder that, because open dialogue and free speech is what we want. And here we have...
Yeah, I need to ponder that before I can respond to it.
Yeah. Here we have an individual that's willing to talk and be open. And that's the beginning right there. That's leaps and bounds above, you know, the beginning. But go ahead and hit me with your other thought. You were about to say something about the previous scholar before him.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, like, if... how old are you? Like, you're my age, right? Like, I was born in 88. Like, what, you were born in the 80s too, right?
I was born in the mid-70s.
Oh, so you might not be fertile. But if you were fertile, you can see so many infertile women, you know? But,
I'm as fertile as they come. I have a 21-year-old girlfriend that we're going to get married this year and start cranking out babies.
Well, I hope you do. We need it. But, a lot of your callers, yeah, you can tell they want you. But back to religion and funny, you know, I was hoping Dr. Sclattery would be around for this, but, you know, sometimes I'm not sure if I'm a Jew just because I feel like I have the luck of the Jews financing the masses, you know, but foreskin. That's the only, like, holdback. Like, sometimes, like, I feel like the Mossad wants my foreskin so that they can inject it into the and use it for stem cell research to inject into the rabbi beards of those who hold the Holocaust receipts. You know?
Wow.
That's my religious stance. You know, I don't know anything about religion. But I like your quote, because the one you made about the Christ on a white horse. Like, I had no idea what that meant, but, like, it reminded me of Johnny Cash.
You know? Oh, yeah, the Lord Jesus. Like, yeah. Anytime you get tired of seeing these governments and the way the world operates, I mean, one day the Lord will return and basically just annihilate them and set up his own kingdom.
Yeah, that always makes me happy. but I've been following the Stormer lately. They've had a lot of great articles. I was listening to Dr. Slattery and your show that you recorded last night? I was listening to Dr. Duke's show, and Dr. Slattery mentioned the person they released from prison who, like, ate the heart. Like, did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah, that was disgusting. And someone in the chat mentioned it, too. Yeah, a black
kind of like religious, least. Right? Like, I don't know what else to say that to keep it to your religious portion, but, like, I just wanted to try to keep it on topic, you know? It's hard to be funny when you throw out a topic and I don't have anything composed.
I would say demon-possessed. That guy was probably demon-possessed. That's just not something that's not even normal for, like, the black criminal community. That's not normal.
What are they
going
to do about his children? Like, didn't he feed it to his family?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, think about all of the tribes in South America that, like, would rip hearts out and worship demons and like, sacrifice babies. I mean, that's where that That's demonic activity. That's dark spiritual stuff right there.
Yeah, somebody has to keep an eye like out on everyone who consume that, you know.
Yeah, for sure, man. That was crazy, man. I still can't get over that article, but
I'll let you on to your next callers, man. I can't be funny and religious at the same time, like as far as I can do. You
know, well, you did a pretty good job with that foreskin joke, though. I'm still not sure what to make of that. I'll have to come up with a reply later. All right, Pat. Well, thanks a lot for your call, man.
Later.
All right, thanks a lot. And move on now. William from Montana. We got William and Mark coming up next. William, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Jeremy.
Good evening.
It's very interesting when you start talking about, you know, the percentage of gays and lesbians among the Zoomers or certain age groups, because back in, I literally was flying into Burbank, literally, in 2001, and I was going down to pick up my wife. You know, nobody knew that she was going to be my wife at the time, but I was flying down there to propose and say, you got to come back to a decent place. One of her family members was deeply involved in the film industry, and she had many gay friends, you know, many Jewish friends, and I had to go down there, and, you know, I'm definitely qualify as a Nazi, born in 46, and, not exactly in 46, but I think that's what they refer to as boomers. And so I got down there. I don't know how I won her hand, and she came back to me and came up to Portland, and I thought, here, we got good water, good streams, you know, beauty, mountains, but we live close to a university that was just completely being taken over by the Jews. And we went over there because they had cheap breakfast. And I looked like one of the professors, so a lot of people thought I was a professor, you know, with this young girl in tow. And one of the things, the policies they had, that's where I ran into my love for Russia, because in the Russian department, I really admired a couple Russian professors, and they were heading up, and they were getting ready to become the head of the Russian department. And all of a sudden, this female shows up, and she says, "Why have a Russian ahead of the Russian department when she speaks fluent Russian, and her parents were from Russia before they got kicked out?" And so over a two-year period, all of a sudden these Russians were demoted and actually encouraged to maybe go someplace else. And it turns out that this woman also likes girls. And so across the street from us, there was a house of Jewish, it was like a commune of Jewish students. And there were a couple of Russians that I felt this one guy spoke fluent Russian, and we used to watch Russian films together. And I thought that was wonderful. And then all of a sudden I saw this policy where if you graduated from this university, they would give you airfare and 3 to 4 months, you know, after you graduated in Israel in a communist kibbutz. And people went over there, and after this guy went over and told him about this, they said, "Well, you have to convert. You know, if you have any friends, don't pay any attention to them unless they're willing to convert to Judaism." So this guy, when he came back, he came up to me and he said, you know, look, William, you can still convert. And I said, convert to what? He said, to Judaism. And I'm looking at him like, oh, yeah, I'm pure German, and I'm going to go over there and some rabbi's going to say, William, my friend, welcome to the fold, welcome to the tribe. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen at all. And so I watched this college where every woman had to have a girlfriend. You know, you could have a boyfriend be best of friends, but you couldn't sleep with him. You had to try it, because if you didn't, then you would be saying, we are submitting ourselves to patriarchy. And so I had a lot of really beautiful girlfriends there. Young girls, they liked my poetry, they liked my art. And they really liked me. And I thought, wow, these girls are hitting on me. But they always came up with, it's really been nice spending the night with you, but all of a sudden a girl would appear, and they would have to go off with them. So these people were not boomers, but it was just a flurry of the men. The men weren't that gay, because they were really sucking up this thing about patriarchy and being able to guide this tribe to dominance. But boy, the women, they were getting it on, and it was almost like this single woman was like this Russian Jew, basically came in and dropped a tiny crystal into the water, and all the water was transformed to this intense homosexuality among women. And the one guy that I liked, who I never actually talked to, but I just admired his Russian. I admired his history. I don't know where he went. And I always felt sad about that. And I think part of my going for the whole Russian thing and learning Russian myself was trying to find that man and apologize to him for having this desecration happen. That's my story tonight. And I am praying for everyone. And I thank you all. I had a wonderful day. Now I'm hoping for the snows to come back. It's been very warm here, and I don't like it. It ain't natural. I want it to be freezing cold and snow everywhere, and I think I'm going to get my wish tomorrow. So thank you very much, and God bless everyone.
Thank you, William. Always appreciate your call. And I think Mike has slid us through the break. I didn't even ask. So thanks a lot, Mike, for that. And William, I'm sure you heard Josh recommend Cancer and the New Biology of Water by Thomas Dale Cohen. Check that book out. I'll be ordering it and reading it for my friend. Last caller of the night, Mark from Texas. Mark, you have an important job. That's to end the show for us. Well, just before I do. What you got? Do we got
party one? Time!
Party hey, on, Garth.
Yeah, the water's on, man. God dang.
Well, God bless it, man. Glad you got water.
Sheila, and I mean, we need about 9 gallons a day. That's a lot of water.
Wow.
But we're good. And, man, great callers. I love all of them. You know, Rick Wiles on True News is floating running for president in 2024. And his platform is defund all the billionaires, give it to the poor. And he got a bunch of comments from Right Wing Watch, which is totally left. And they were like, yes, let's do it. Now, brother, we got the left, we got the right. We got it. The people are tired of this.
Yeah.
And, I just want to praise God. And I also want to praise Layla and Dave from Boston. And, I don't know what's going on. I listen when I can, but, they're righteous as far as I can, as I'm concerned. As far as Pat, he's our new Frank from North Carolina. We got Pat from North Carolina. Pat, those are big shoes to fill. I don't know if you could do it. But never underestimate the American people. Never. And I love everybody. I love Blue Moon. Thank you for calling. I love hearing you. And I just love all your callers and love to you and Patrick and Mike.
We appreciate it, Mark. Always love when you call. And you ended the show very well, very heartfelt. We got just a couple of seconds left. And, you hit the nail on the head. This Rick Wiles figured out, if you can appeal to the to people's moral standards and their sense of fair finance, you could win any election. If we ever have fair elections again, who knows if we will? Probably not. We'll be back tomorrow night on In Plain Sight with more commentary and your calls.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.